So how many of you guys know who Brett Favre is? Anybody? Brett Favre? Am I saying his name right? He's a football player. I think he's in the Hall of Fame, or if he's not yet, he should be soon, I'm imagining. What's that?
Brett Favre.
There you go. Brett Favre. Anyway, there was a documentary one time that I watched that stuck with me over the years, and it is just, he was just kind of a special quarterback. He was a special football player, kind of maybe special in other ways. But the point is he just came through a lot in the clutch. He was considered a gunslinger, so he's throwing the ball around the field all the time, coming up with just crazy plays. And one time he threw an awesome, they were doing this documentary trying to kind of figure out what he was all about and who, what made him so special and so forth and so on. So they're doing all these interviews and everything. And this one particular interview was with this coach that was playing against him. He says, one of the things that make him so special, and he tells this story, is Brett drops back, throws a pass, only it was intercepted and ran the other direction for a touchdown. Okay? And so Brett going to make the play, missed the play. The guy goes in there, ends up in the coach's face, and he looks at him and he goes, I missed a touchdown by that much. He lived like that. He was just like, I was that close. I almost got it. I was right there, you know. And so he comes back out and he ends up, you know, they win the game. He drives them down and the whole deal. So that's kind of his nature. That's what he was all about, is it didn't, failure kind of didn't stick with him. It didn't hold with him very long. He shook it right off. He knew he was that close. He could just make a little adjustment and boom. One of the early times of his career, he used to just, he had a cannon arm and he would rifle, knock people over. They'd be like 5 yards out. And then he had to like learn how to dial it down a little bit and then throw the softer pass here and the longer, you know, anyway. So I was thinking about this, and sometimes if you have that sort of mentality, that's a good thing, right? If you can shake it off and go on to the next thing, if you're playing an instrument or you're in a play or you make a mistake or you're driving, this is another thing we talk about. Well, I teach driving. And you can't be worried about the mistake you just made because you've got other things coming ahead. There's more music to play. There's other, live performance is kind of live. You just keep going. If you're stuck on the mistake, it just drags the whole thing back. Speaking of live performance, that was so awesome. It's really funny. And, we're going to be talking about Zechariah today. And one of the things I was thinking about is by living that way, sometimes your mentality could actually shift a little bit to the wrong side, to the negative side of that. And what I mean by that, if we live our lives always just missing, how awesome is that? It can get really discouraging fast, yeah? It builds in something like, the Lord did this and that and everything, but I didn't quite step into it. I remember there was one guy who used to tell us stories a lot and share from in front of the church. And so many of his stories were based on what you shouldn't do. And that's okay. There's something to that. We can all learn from each other and stuff like that. But I just really, this one particular story that got us going, and we were all right there. And you could almost feel like, and the next thing is whatever it was. And he was going to just launch off into the glory of whatever God was doing in his life. And he sort of just stepped back and just shrank. Got right up there, just almost. I think this is kind of what I experience when I read Zechariah. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 1. We got a really good overview this morning on what this looks like, what it could look like, or what it possibly looked like. I love getting our imagination. One of the things is I get the scripts, right? And I kind of get to, I don't know how much tweaking gets done between when I see it and when it goes live. But this was so funny compared to what I read. Like I couldn't get my imagination around it. So it was really a good surprise and really fun. Not that I thought it was going to be bad because we know, you know, Janet and she does amazing things. You guys were awesome. You know, all of that stuff. But it's just so much fun when you see it live. So to get that kind of imagination going. But in Luke chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 5, and it says, in the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abaha? How's that for? Abahai? Hi. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Even just the buildup of this is interesting, right? Like, it's kind of, they drop Aaron's name in there. You get some kind of momentum. They're blameless and righteous. But they were childless. Now, of course, we know a lot of that, especially in that culture, being childless is a big deal. It's a lot bigger deal to them, probably, than it is to us. I'm going to say for sure than it is to us. And I was trying to think, what's more of a common or dynamic equivalent for our culture? And I wonder a little bit if being good with money, especially in Orange County, might be a little bit closer to something that we can relate to. If you're bad with money and you're driving the old jalopy around next to like two Ferraris, sometimes we'll be driving around, doing my lessons, and there's no less than $1 million worth of cars around us, right? Our insurance is good, but not that good, right? So we're just like, okay, we're going to go nice and care. Ease on the pedal, ease on the brake. Okay, so, but it's true, right? You think about this, or at least I do, and a lot of it, the culture, and again, I don't think it's so much here in this church, in this community, but we certainly see it out there. And if you don't make a good living, man, you're not a good man. It goes to something core in who we are. If we can't provide for our family, it's a big deal. And here it makes it even, I think, more heightened. I also wonder how many of us have stories. We have these great stories of who the Lord is and what he's done for us and where he's brought us. And then there's so often a but in the middle of that story. We sort of let the air out underneath it. That doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean that, certainly her being childless and it's a big deal to her. But I think this is something where we can relate. If you continue in verse 8, once when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord. Now, at the time of incense burning, the whole assembly of the people was gathered outside praying. Then there appeared to him the angel of the Lord. Now, first of all, just kind of going in there, he won the lottery. He won. He got the lot. He got to go in. Now, I'm not 100% sure this is a good thing or a bad thing to be able to have to go in there. But none the worse, he's in there, and he won, and he got it by lottery, and he's going to go burn the incense, and they're all kind of supporting him out there. And one thing is how often do we show up doing our duty? Doing our stuff every single day, every single, give unto the Lord, and we live our lives as an eternal sacrifice to him. What is it? Romans 1, it says, make your life, I'm blanking out on it, a living sacrifice. And how much of us tend to maybe even go through the motions at times? And we just kind of show up and we do our thing and we don't necessarily expect much to happen. And then we're caught off guard when it actually does, huh? He wins, but wait, there's more. The angel of the Lord appeared standing to the right of the altar. I love how specific it is, too, like just a little to the right of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John." I wonder, even in the story as it flows down, I wonder if it's even like, wait a minute, the angel of death just showed up. Like, he is scared. He is not happy about this moment. We don't know all the thing, but the angel has to calm him down. And then he says something that's pretty cool. Your prayers have been heard. Your prayers have been heard. And then it says, you're going to have a child. Now, how old are these people? Old. So I'm thinking in my head, I'm wondering, when did I pray this? Was this like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, right? Sue, how would you like to have a baby right now? You get to raise it from right today, right? How awesome is that? You guys could have a brand new one. You start over, right? Wouldn't that be incredible? I was thinking about it with our little common equivalent. Maybe we win the lottery. Woo, that's awesome. But you have to keep track of every penny you spend. You have to document it, or you have to, make sure it goes. Because the angel doesn't stop there, does he? I was thinking even before that, before I say that next thing, is just how many of our dreams in our prayers that we prayed with our whole hearts did we sort of relax on? And we just kind of, okay, not your will, not my will, but yours be done. And we sort of just kind of go through it, right? And he shows up, man, your prayers have been answered. And you're like, which one? You know, I'm not sure which one. And then you're going to get a kid, but then you have very specific things about this kid. How many of you guys have told a kid not to touch the candle? What's the first thing they do? Touch the candle, right? I was thinking about, I don't know if you remember the Hamburgs. I can't say it. They've got a skateboard called the Hamburgs, but it's a Hamburgs. Anyway, I can't say it. These friends of ours that used to come here, they were like the Russian dolls because they all kind of were like a smaller version of the next. You know, those little... Anyway, so when he was three, Gus, the oldest, he somehow got a hold of our former pastor's Diet Coke. And he got a drink of it. And that was a big deal to Kathy because she didn't want his mom didn't want him to have any soda ever. And so, like, just the one, you know, like... He's going to have specific rules. And how do you keep your kid from getting into things? How do you keep your kid from getting into things? I was thinking, my son just simply walked outside when he was like, I don't know, maybe 18 months old. I throw him up on my shoulder. Boom. Guess what's on the bottom of his shoe? Oh, yeah. That was nice. Mm-hmm. You get to raise a child. Not only that, but you got to keep him from ever. Where is it? Where, I don't even know what verse I'm in now. 14. You will have joy and gladness, so that's good. Many will rejoice at his birth, another good thing, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn away, he will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord, their God. And with the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him and turn their hearts to his and turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I was thinking about this too. Sometimes we get all uptight about the gifts that we're given, right? I don't have this person's gift. I'm not as funny as them. I'm not as well. I can't play guitar. I can't do that the way that they do it. And what I was thinking about when I was reading this is how much of that is really about the gift versus our relationship to the gift. Like, what if we had that gift and we were special and we were awesome and amazing, but then would we maybe still have issues because we have this gift and not that gift, right? We're always shuffling things around. He gets this gift, he gets this opportunity, and the first words out of his mouth are what? Yeah, verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, how will I know that this will be so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years. Now, before we get too hard on Zechariah, because the angel's going to beat him up pretty good here, but I want to skip down to verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how can I be sure, since I am a virgin? Now tell me something. What's the difference between those two verses? What's that? Yeah, it does say she was afraid. She had to. She just a couple verses before the angel had to calm her down too. She was. Yeah. Let's just stick right within what the words are. The words are very, very similar. We know how the story carries out, so we rush ahead and kind of put the math together. But those phrases, they're not that different. They really aren't.
In the NIV, she says, how would this be? So she's asking a logistical question.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking, well, how can I be sure? Yes. His is a
sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I'm old versus, right, yeah. So you're totally right in the sense that he's looking, you know, that's definitely the Greek in there. He's looking for a sign. In fact, you guys did a great job of depicting that he's actually asking for a sign while he's standing next to an angel that made him soil himself, possibly. He needs something bigger. And again, how much do we, God, can you show me you love me? How much do we, all the time, the cross isn't good enough? The community of faith that we're put in, the people that we're in to show us how to love, isn't enough for you? I need more? I need to do some sort of song and dance? This is what he goes off on in John chapter 6. No, give us more food. Give us more sign. Give us more. Eat my blood. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. And they were offended. Better get it right, preacher. How much do we demand of our God? Huge difference between Zechariah and Mary is she says, I'm here to serve. Not my will, but yours. Another thing that's important to notice is there's precedent. Abraham went through this, didn't he? This is a priest of the Lord. Does he not know the story of Abraham? Does he know about Samuel and Hannah? Right? Does he not know that this has happened more than once? Oh, gosh, I can't believe in your Jesus. He doesn't heal anybody. Really? Do you know that Angie Hefner got healed from cancer? Right? Do you know that there's stories all over the world? Paul read a couple months back about a story of healing that just was like, yeah, really? These stories are all over the place. Not to mention our own witness in Scripture. We have precedent. It should not surprise us, and we don't have to defend God's work in our lives and whether or not he chooses to heal somebody or chooses to rescue us or chooses to do something that we demand that he do. But it distinguishes also between that precedence and Mary's. There has never before been a virgin birth. Not once. Isaiah talks about a young woman, but it doesn't say virgin. We live an impossible faith. Not an unlikely faith, not something that maybe could happen, or if we're really good, or we kind of manipulate things, but it is impossible. Impossible faith that we show up here at church. We've had 2,000 years of this. It gets numb to us. We're not, we get kind of like, oh yeah, right, virgin birth. That's what I believe in, Virgin Mary and all of these things. In fact, we get in fights over this little thing. We serve an impossible God. An impossible God. Don't try to defend it. Don't try to make your apologetics work and your arguments and all of that stuff. It doesn't work. It is impossible. It is impossible. We have impossible faith. And he offers it to us and he invites us to be a part of that. We have no room for small thinking. No room for doubt. No room for, hey, I can't accomplish this, or I feel God is calling me to this, but I'm so scared. There's no room for that for us. The other thing that's hard to deal with and swallow on this is that Zach missed it, didn't he? He's going to sit in silence. And he's got a choice, right? But he's got to endure however long. We don't know. There's nothing in that part of the text right there how long he's going to be silent. Yet the two other witnesses get to experience a pregnancy, an unlikely pregnancy and an impossible pregnancy. And they get to experience joy. They get to experience the hope, the expectancy, the wonder, all the things that God promises us, all the things that we get excited about, stirs our heart, especially at Christmas time. I want to play a song for you guys.
One lift of the hand. it only took one little lie to separate you and me. Oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. And they say that one day Joshua, he made the sun stand still in the sky. But I can't even keep these thoughts of you from passing by. Oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. We are frail, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, forged in the fires of human passion, choking on the fumes of selfish rage. And with these our hells and our heavens so few inches apart, we must be awfully small and not as strong as we think we are. And the master said that faith was gonna make the mountains move. But me, I tremble like a hill on a fault line just at the thought of how I lost you. Oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. But we are frail, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, forged in the fires of human passion, choking on the fumes of selfish rage. With these our hells and our heavens so few inches apart, we must be awfully small and not as strong as we think we are. Took the hand of God Almighty to part the waters and the sea. But it only took one little lie to separate you and me. Oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. When you love, you walk on the water, just don't stumble on the waves. We all want to go there, something awful, but to stand there takes some grace. Cause oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. No, we are not as strong.
Love that song. It's a beautiful lament of just who we are as humans and how we aren't as strong as we think we are. We get our excitement and we get behind our words and we're going to do this great thing for God, and we do, and sometimes we do lose faith and we just go through the motions, and then we get that opportunity and it's, I just missed. One more try. One more failed moment. For Zach, he gets to experience the disappointment. He endures, and he's no doubt discouraged. Again, in the face of Mary and Elizabeth, where they get to experience all the joy and all the wonder of this amazing thing. He's not a bad guy, Zachariah. It says that he's righteous. He's obviously a priest. He gets a lot, but gets to go in there, and he does his job. So what are the options? Do you sit around for the rest of your pregnancy? We know he's going to get to speak in a little bit, but just in the sense of, do we sit around in our failure and we sit around in all the the things, the woulda, coulda, shoulda? Or is there something else he can do? The cool thing about the way the text flows, the way the story is written, is we're not stopping with Zechariah, are we? We're going to go into Mary's story, and she gets to meet the angel, and we get to see how it's done. We get to see the right response. It's like it was Zach, with us, any of us. We could sit in the failure of it, or we can learn. We can learn so that next time when that chance comes, we're ready. We don't have to write that story again. We could do something different. Luke 1:38. Did I skip a piece? I might have skipped one, sorry. No, I got it right here, 1:38. Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. And then skipping down to 46, this is her song. When she goes to visit Mary, and remember, they get to experience the joy together, the joy of both of them getting a chance to believe and know that the Messiah is coming, that all of the tears and all of the brokenness and all of the failure is going to get wiped away, washed away. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts and in their hearts, the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from the thrones, and he lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he has made to our ancestors, Abraham to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned home. I love that we can learn from one another. We can go to Scripture. We can find that we're not that different. And yes, we need to have a different mindset. We have to have a mindset that says, yes, it is possible. Not because it's possible with us, but because it's impossible and God calls us to it. God brings us into it. Verse 57. "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, 'No, we don't want to make that mistake twice. He is to be called John.' He said to her, 'None of your relatives are named John, has this name.' Then they began motioning to his father to find out what he wanted to give him. And then he asked for a writing tablet, and he seized his moment. His name is John. And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed. And he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all of the neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them, and they said, 'What will become of this child?' For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him. And then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit." That's a beautiful word, isn't it? One of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament is when Samson, he gets his hair cut, right? And they do all the crappy things and all the stuff to him. And then there's this little thing. But then his hair began to grow. Hope begins to grow. Something begins to move underneath the whole picture here. And it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. "Blessed be the Lord of Israel, the Lord God of Israel. For he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of the holy prophets from the old, that he would be saved, that we would be saved from our enemies and the hand of all who hate us. I was thinking about even Todd's sharing last week about that self-hatred. Like, we are getting to be redeemed, not just from those that are pouring out on us, but all the stuff that goes on in our head. We get to be redeemed of it, free. This is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Thus, he has shown mercy. He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and he has remembered his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us. He's been reading up on Abraham probably at this point. The oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us, that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in the holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, I love, and I just could picture him just holding the child up, just bringing him up to, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord, and you will prepare his way, and you will give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from upon high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadows of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in the spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the day that he appeared publicly to Israel. I just love the imagery of just piercing into the darkness. Piercing into the darkness of our souls, of our brokenness, of our longings, of all of the crap that we bring around and we just kind of nurture and hang in there. He's going to just eradicate it. We are free from it. And if we just do our best, I think it was Zachary, we were talking about this morning, even if he just shuts his mouth. I mean, yes, sir, would have been good, right? But just shutting his mouth would have been good. And maybe that was what he's supposed to do according to the following scriptures, right? But Zach doesn't miss it. He rocks it. And I was thinking too, and this was kind of funny, another thing that we can do is we can pray for those that are getting it right. We're sitting here feeling like failures. Well, let's get out of our own stuff and look at who's doing the doing. Okay, I'll pray for you. You guys are rocking. I'm going to just pray for you. Okay, you're doing it good. Right. Yesterday, you guys rocked it. You and Tabitha and whoever else, like I guess Carrie made an amazing thing. You guys came together. And so we just pray for you guys. Okay, we might be bozos. That's okay. We're going to pray for you guys. And guess what? You know, maybe Zachariah, we don't know if he prayed for Mary, but like at the end, Mary, yeah, I prayed for the salvation of the world, and here's the baby. He's right here. I got to be a part of it. We get to take credit for that in a weird way, right? We can put our hearts in it and begin to back each other up in that way. And sometimes that'll also bring us to those levels of going, okay, I can do it. I'll follow them. I'll be a part of them. I'll pray for them. And next time that time comes around, we might have a shot at it. We might nail it. The other thing I was thinking in this is, Eugene Peterson talks a lot about this, but this whole thing of mystery, pregnancy is a mystery. We've got nothing to do with pregnancy. I mean, there's some basic things that happen with pregnancy, but even in Mary's pregnancy, we had nothing to do with it, right? But it happens. God is birthing in us. He's birthing in us something that's amazing. And I just remind us that they're here at Christmas time. This is the thing. We're doing this theme, right? God came for all of us. He's a gift for each of us. And we're going to go out today. We're going to spread the joy out into the community. And hopefully God will, you know, we get to look for chances. You know, you might have blown it. You had a chance to celebrate or share the Lord with somebody. Well, guess what? Today's another chance. You go shopping tomorrow, you got another chance. There's another chance to just step into whatever it is and let that be a practice. Let us practice hitting it on the head. No more buts. I've got one more song for you. And we'll have the worship team come up in the middle of this probably, and you guys can take it away. It's a familiar song. This is Zach Williams' band. Is that right? Zach Brown Band, sorry.
I saw the sun begin to dim. I felt that winter wind blow cold. A man learns who's there for him, and the glitter fades and the walls won't hold. 'Cause from then rubble, what remains can only be what's true. If all was lost, it's more I gained, 'cause it led me back to you. And from now on, these eyes will not be blinded by the light. From now on, what's waited till tomorrow starts tonight, tonight. And let this promise in me start like an anthem in my heart. From now on, from now on. Champagne with kings and queens, the politicians praise my name. But those are someone else's dreams, the pitfalls of the man I became. For years and years, I chased their cheers at the crazy speed of always needing more. But when I stopped,
we get to get in this thing, this mystery, this life, this incredible thing that God is calling us to. We do not have to worry. We do not have to make it happen. We can allow it to happen in us, and we can just say yes. I encourage you, we're going to worship for another song. If you have a day, every Sunday could be Declaration Sunday. It doesn't take just, you know, I don't know how you showed up here today. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what all this stuff is. But all I'm saying is you can declare whatever you feel the Lord would want you to declare. Do it again. Jump into it. Don't hold back. Don't let the moment pass. Don't walk out of here wishing you did or said or felt or committed to something he has called you to.
So I think it's cool because as people... the other side of the cross, you know, this season is a little bit, it's, there's a new perspective to kind of approach, you know, like people who Jesus has died for, you know, like the story that we heard was like so awesome, you know, but now we come as believers in the new covenant, just, you know, it's, Jesus has come, he's grown, you know, and, you know, we have a cross, and we're going to sing a hymn called The Wonderful Cross right now. I just want to encourage you guys, you know, just what does this season mean for you as someone that Jesus died for? Like, that's something that we can easily just forget the power behind that, you know? Like, all that came, like, Jesus came and, you know, Zacharias, you know, was mute, you know, and, like, all this stuff happened. And, you know, then we had Jesus on a cross. So, like, everything had a significant role to play. That led to the cross, that led to him resurrecting, that led to the Pentecost Sunday, and it's all linked together. And it's just so beautiful that we get to, you know, now in 2018 reflect, and it's, there's a rich heritage, a rich history that we get to step into even in today. So just want to encourage you that just know that you're loved, and, you know, the cross, like Jesus did, cover everything. Whether you have stepped into that or not, it's there. Today is a moment to do that, and I'm sure there'll be prayer if people want to pray. But, yeah, so let's just sing out of a place of just being on the other side of the cross today.